Moncrief on News Talk.
Tomlin with you, standing in for Sean today. And we mentioned testosterone. I'm mentioning it because more and more middle-aged Irish men are investigating the possibility of testosterone therapy, motivated by social media and podcasters such as Joe Rogan. But can it work? Joining me now is Dr. Emmett Byrne, a GP with a specialist interest in men's health, based at the Optimum Clinic in Bray. Emmett, good to see you. How are you today?
Doing good, thanks, Tommy.
I think I feel good. I need a bit of testosterone after that cash call.
Yeah, exactly.
It took a lot out of me. What was I? I see the name Joe Rogan. So is a bit of the kind of awareness been driven by that kind of stuff?
Yeah, social media has definitely played its role in driving the, I suppose you call it, testosterone therapy interest, if you like. I know the level of inquiry in our clinic has gone up hugely in the last, say, 4 to 5 years. Generally, two kind of groups of people. One is the kind of person who has always been quite well and fit and starts to slow down when they hit middle age. And then the other is people who've acquired a number of comorbidities whose life has just gone really, you know, downhill as such. And they would be less from the social media perspective be driven, but they'd be putting in, you know, symptoms of what they're feeling. And then sometimes the testosterone replacement thing would come up as a feeder, and then they'd follow, go down that rabbit hole. So they're the two generally types of people.
Do you know why Joe Rogan is talking about it, or what his angle is?
So Joe Rogan has been talking about it for years. Joe Rogan himself takes it and openly admits that he takes it. And he's also, you know, posts a lot of videos of himself training, and he's in his mid to late 50s, and he's fairly fit for his age. So people are looking at this and you know, there's putting it, he's taken it to, I think he said, since the age of 40. So, and he gives it a lot of credit for his ability to, you know, maintain his body shape, muscle mass, his level of fitness, and his work is a work output, because he'd be very busy on top of that as well. Right. So, and that would then, of course, you know, percolate down to people. And Andrew Huberman's another guy who does it as well, and they talk about it openly. And then when people look at them, you see, perception, you know, isn't always reality, but, you know, looking at them from outside in, it looks like they're doing pretty well based on it.
It sounds like they're almost using it as a performance enhancing thing.
Yeah, so it's performance enhancing is, I suppose, it's a funny one. It's a fine line. So testosterone replacement fundamentally is for people who have a diagnosis of low testosterone or symptoms of, and what you're trying to do is give a set level of testosterone that would restore the levels of what a young man would normally have. In terms of performance enhancing, you're going to supraphysiological levels of testosterone, which is giving you a significant advantage in terms of, but it's a much more short-lived thing. You're going to run into problems when you go into, say, what we call doping and using it for that sort of thing. But it's been shown now that testosterone replacement doesn't actually shorten lives if it's done correctly. It actually lengthens lives. Right. Men who have low testosterone, now I'm not saying for the guy who doesn't have low testosterone, but if you have low testosterone, you're walking around, your risk for heart disease, prostate disease, and this is contrary to what most people would think, diabetes, osteoporosis go up. And this is outside of the fact you certainly won't have the same vitality as somebody that has normal or good levels of testosterone, because your sex drive will be down, your erections won't be as strong, generally speaking. Your energy levels, your ability to recover from training, your desire to do training won't be the same.
Is there not a reason, though, why your testosterone falls off a little bit as you get older anyway? I mean, as you get older, should you not be cutting back on your exercise and maybe increasing the population of the world?
Yeah,
things that should be disappearing in the distance for you.
Well, within reason. I mean, you, the intensity at which you can generate, like, you know, train when you're younger. Like, so training falls into a couple of different categories: volume, frequency, intensity, and various different things like that. And the reality is that you should be exercising at least as much in your older as you do when you're younger to maintain your vitality, because that's what keeps you, like, it maintains what you have. It slows it down.
You're not really able to, though, are you? I mean, you're prone to injury.
Well, you are, what I was going to say there is I said the amount of volume should be the same.
Yeah.
The intensity should drop. So intensity is, when I say should, I think the highest capacity, the highest intensity you can operate without generating an injury is where you should be working at. That's where you should be. So people who go, well, I'm, you know,
walking the dog.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that is a whole lot better than sitting down. Don't get me wrong. But I mean, but the reality is that you should be working to the maximum level you can without getting an injury. And testosterone will enable that, but it's not a reason for guys with normal healthy testosterone with no symptoms to start taking it. That's not what I'm saying at all. It's guys with lower levels.
So it's how you find out where you stand, isn't it? Because it seems like an awful lot of what what are the effects of your testosterone below? Are normal parts of aging as well, being tired after a day's work? That's normal enough, isn't it?
It is, but we can reverse it, and why wouldn't you? You know,
if it's because associated, if your body is telling you that you're tired after a day's work, you should not be listening to it.
Not necessarily. No, I mean, you can get people, the variables there within people of an older age. And let's take an age of 60 years of age. The variables within 60 year olds is enormous. And it's relative to a lot of them. How people may put it down to genetics, but that isn't always the case. It's to how well they live their life up to that point. So what's normal for one person isn't always normal for the other. But you can recover a tremendous amount. So we would kind of look at these things as we're kind of cheating away, you know, nature, or, you know, what should be happening as we get older. I can assure you, if it's related to testosterone, the symptoms that you have, we can reverse this. And it's important that you do to live the best life you can. So why not? That's right. What I'd say. That's what I've. Now, the problem with testosterone is this: it's stigmatized. Like if I said to you, Tom, what comes into your head when I mention ACE inhibitor, or if I mention calcium channel blocker, it'll be probably, what's he talking about? What's he saying? These are medications. But if I mention, like, randomly, you know, testosterone, what pops into your head? You're thinking bodybuilding. You're thinking doping. You're thinking toxic masculinity. Like, it is a medication, if used correctly, is highly beneficial. And I'll argue there isn't a single medication that I know outside of testosterone that gives you the same number of benefits that testosterone does when used in the right context. It is life-changing. And it's the one of the few things, apart from getting people fit and, you know, obviously getting their lifestyle right with nutrition, exercise, sleep and stress management, it is the single biggest impact I've seen on people when they have symptoms.
There must be risks. There must be risks. What are they?
So the fertility is the main thing, because there's a correlation between lowering your own. Because when you take external testosterone, you stop producing your own. Okay, that's not dangerous in and of itself, because you're taking a bioidentical hormone. But the problem is that you change the feedback loop that creates the testosterone release. Okay, and that has an effect on fertility. So for people who are, you know, want to conceive, you have to work around that, obviously, and you have to look at that situation in relation to that's a serious enough thing not to be doing. But aside from that, if used and monitored correctly, now this isn't a reckless, this is a very, you know, kind of structured formal kind of approach to medication with multiple blood tests annually and stuff to monitor this. And you're mainly looking at, with any medication or any intervention medically, you're looking at the risk to benefit ratio.
Sure.
And in nearly all cases, the risk to benefit ratio favors the testosterone in a situation where guys have low testosterone.
You're right. So you're saying that when you take it, that's the end of you producing your own testosterone.
Yeah.
So you're on it for life then.
Generally speaking, but if you come off at your own levels, generally will come back.
They will. Yeah, so it's temporary.
Yeah. But you'll have a drop before that happens.
How do I decide if I need it or not?
I would look at six main symptoms. Okay. So the main thing, you could look, if you look up testosterone symptoms, deficiency symptoms, you'll get a reams of stuff. Okay. The things I see most commonly, libido. Now, there's only a few things that can drop your libido.
Yeah.
One is other medications. The other one would be psychiatric issues, and then generally hormonal. Okay. So that's number one, because there's very few things that generally drop it. The second thing would be erectile issues. Okay, so early morning erections, ability, you know, to produce a quality erection and hold it, maintain it. Now, that can be neurovascular as well, so there are other issues for that. So there are always, these symptoms can be caused by other things that we have to find out first. The third thing,
age group now are you looking at there, just out of interest?
So anything from maybe mid-40s upwards to, you know, upwards.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So I'll give you these again. So it's libido, erectile maintenance and strength, early morning erections. Fatigue is a big one, okay?
Yeah.
And then lower mood, higher anxiety, okay? The ability to make decisions, you know, like say you lose your confidence in terms of what you're doing. And then we could call that kind of loosely a thing like brain fog, you know, the clarity of thought, which is different from dementia because it's reversible, yeah.
Well, I'm just wondering, with all of those things, that can just be diet and your age and a lack
absolutely.
Of exercise and everything
absolutely.
Else that goes
absolutely.
With
it. Absolutely,
absolutely. So, the first protocol would be to try and see.
100%. Yeah. So part of the deal with me is I hammer home the lifestyle stuff. That's very important for me. If you have when you are talking about health, okay, you have a pyramid and a base. Like the base can't be done by the doctor, okay? Now, if the person, the individual, and this is the kind of... we're living in a world where the medical system, from this perspective, has not kept up to speed with the environment in relation to our food supplies being poisoned by processed foods, and we're moving now less than in the history of our evolution. Okay, we're sedentary. And these two things are absolutely destroying cellular health, which is the basis of where disease originates from. But in the current medical system, we start with risk factors, blood pressures, cholesterol, things like this. So we need to get into that base. And if you get that base correct, that's, again, briefly, it's nutrition, exercise, They're the two kind of main ones you've control over. Sleep and stress are important, but they're harder to control, but they are very, very important. Now, if you get the foundation in there, you'll need the least amount of contact with doctors. But there is research showing that if your testosterone is low, even if you reverse these things, it doesn't always recover.
Sure. So, and is there a simple test you can do with your GP or stuff? You can just measure your blood and say, for your age, for your fitness, whatever, your testosterone is low.
Anybody with the symptoms I'm talking about is worth getting checked. But I will stress this. If you have the biggest driver of low testosterone in men as they get older is comorbidities, things like obesity, type 2 diabetes, hypertension, these sort of things. So if you have diagnosis of these things, it's really, and you're symptomatic, i.e. you're tired, your libido's low, etc., you struggle with erections, get tested, okay?
Yeah.
And that is my advice.
A question for you there from a listener. It's funny, it goes through my mind. I always feel that people with very strong testosterone have looked like they shave 9 times a day, seem to go bald very quickly. Yeah. So can you ask your guests about hair loss with taking testosterone?
So hair loss is based from, with testosterone, it kind of breaks down to other components that the body needs. One is called dihydrotestosterone. And dihydrotestosterone is the component that binds onto the hair follicle and makes it fall out. So if you're prone to male pattern baldness, it will probably speed it up.
Right.
But if you're not prone to it, it won't make a difference.
Are we not all prone to it?
I'd say more not to the same mechanism. So as you get older, it's not the DHT really that's doing it. It's just your age that's kind of doing it as such when you thin out a bit. But it's but male pattern baldness is what you'd see in certainly people who get it earlier in life. It's to do with the DHT receptor on the hair follicle.
Okay, all fascinating stuff, I must say. Dr. Emma Bourne, GP of Special Interest in Men's Health, based at the Optimum Clinic. Thanks very much for all that.
Thanks, Tom.
It's fascinating.
Cheers. Take care.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.